You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight and we could be strong. You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight and we could.
This is Bridge the Gap with Mark and Dave, the program that seeks for the truth no matter where it is found. Welcome to the program. This is Mark.
And this is David.
Today we're going to talk about hidden things of darkness. In 2015, this was actually January 25th, I've got it recorded in my journal, the stake presidency gave a lesson in a ward conference. And the topic was about understanding the noise that keeps us from learning the truth. I really started thinking about it more profoundly. And I asked the question, who are the watchmen spoken of in Isaiah? It's Isaiah 52, 6 through 8. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Who are the watchmen?
Growing up, I kind of just, heard they're like the apostles. I have a feeling you have something new for me.
Do you think it's limited to the apostles?
No, not at all.
Do you think you might be included in that?
Maybe.
Do you have your reservations about that?
No, just trying to not sound like, I don't know. I totally feel that's one of my missions here on this earth. I think it's anyone who can see what's really going on and is willing to talk about it and voice up and speak what they're seeing.
Okay. And I think that's fair. I wondered, what am I not getting here? What is it that I'm missing because of the noise that's keeping me from understanding the truth? And I really started to ponder that. So I'd like you to read another scripture. This is back to Isaiah 56, 10 through 11.
His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Pretty crappy watchman.
Yeah. What we're about to get into isn't for the faint of heart. And it's one of those situations where if you want to proceed, fasten your seatbelt because it's going to get rough. But you just said we were the watchmen. And now we're reading another verse of scripture that says the watchmen are all blind.
And is this referring to the same watchmen?
That was my next question. Are they the apostles?
I don't know. I think there's probably more than one.
Isaiah speaks cryptically a lot, and he uses a lot of double meanings. And a lot of what he teaches and talks about has dual meaning. His watchmen and thy watchmen are an example of this. He's talking about two halves of the same group of people. Some watchmen are awake, and they will see eye to eye when the Lord will bring again Zion. And some watchmen are asleep. They can never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. So I'm going to buckle my seatbelt and take this rough ride and start asking myself, am I that watchman? Did I think I understood something that I didn't? Do I know when the Lord will bring again Zion? Is there anybody that I know that is in agreement about this? Are we supposed to be in agreement? There's not a lot of seeing eye to eye going on right now. So I think that's a good starting place. Why isn't there a lot of seeing eye to eye about this?
Well, verse 11 in Isaiah 56 talks about it, right? They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain.
What do you think that means to you?
Yeah, I mean, we hear that so much in the world today, and I'm guilty of it at times for sure. Just like, being greedy, like materialistic, maybe wanting things of the world, trying to do it my way, whichever way that is in that moment, and not looking to Christ and his way. So I think it, in my opinion, it's every single person on this earth, either at times or some more than other, you know.
Sure. I want to get into this a little bit deeper. This is Isaiah again. Before we read this next scripture in Isaiah, we are primarily from the tribe of Ephraim. If you don't believe me, check your patriarchal blessing. Now let's go ahead and read Isaiah 28.
Which verse?
1 through 9.
1 through 9?
Yeah. Just 1 through 4 for starters.
Okay. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine.
To cut to the chase, he's talking about Ephraim. He's talking about the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The addicts.
They're all drunk. He's using that as a metaphor. It's cryptic, but it's a key word to unlock a mystery. And he's referring to the blind watchmen, the dumb dogs, those who love to slumber and those who can never get enough, the shepherds that cannot understand. They are like drunkards. And he gets a little bit more pointed. So again, keep that seatbelt fastened tight, and we'll get into verse 5 through 8 now. But they also have erred through wine, through strong drink, and are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. What do you think? Is it them or is it us? Who are these watchmen? Who are these Ephraimites that Isaiah is referring to? He's talking about our day. Got one more for you. Isaiah 30, 9 through 13. We'll start with verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of your way, turn aside out of the path, cast the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly and at an instant. Here we are, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, at least a certain group of us, who see not, we're telling the prophets, don't prophesy unto us right things. Say smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what will make us feel good, not what is true. We're truth seekers. We don't want to know what makes us feel good, what makes us feel good about who we are and what we're doing. We just want to know the truth. President Uchtdorf in 2014, I think it was, gave a general conference talk where he said, ask, Lord, is it I? And when I was doing this research, that's what I was thinking a lot about. Is it I? Am I the one who fits into that category? It really takes some deep honesty, some sincere soul searching for me to question whether or not what I've believed was okay may not be okay.
You felt that way?
Everyone. Back in 2015, I was feeling that way. And since then, I have started to feel differently because I've been working on it. I've been doing some soul searching, and I've been doing some deep seeking and studying to try and not be deceived. I didn't want to just keep doing what I was doing because I didn't feel like what I was doing was enough. And so I started to challenge everything that I was doing. Started to really humble myself and try and figure out what it was I didn't understand that I didn't get. And spent hours researching the scriptures and studying and asking, what lack I yet? I've spent a good part of the last 5 years working on that. And a lot of challenges have come up in the meantime, right? But this is what has started me on that journey. Because back then, you know, I kind of knew that Isaiah was talking about the members of the church. And I didn't want to be a blind watchman. I wanted to be one of the watchmen that could really see, who had eyes to see. And I wanted to develop those eyes that could see. And so I started on that journey. It was back then, too, that President Monson was still alive. We still did the first presidency messages. Back then, we were still doing home teaching. Now we're doing ministering. President Monson's address in September of 2014 was titled, Are We Prepared? I would like to read to you right now Heber C. Kimball. He made a prophecy, and this was in 1930. So this is a prophecy from Heber C. Kimball. After a while, the Gentiles will gather in the Salt Lake City by the thousands, and this will be among the wickedest cities of the world. A spirit of speculation and extravagance will take possession of the saints, and the results will be financial bondage. An army of elders will be sent to the four quarters of the earth to search out the righteous and warn the wicked of coming events. All kinds of religions will be started, and miracles performed that will deceive the very elect, if such thing were possible. Persecution comes next, and all the Latter-day Saints will be tested to the limit. Many will apostatize, and others will stand still, not knowing what to do. The judgments of God will be poured out upon the wicked, to the extent that the elders from far and near will be called home. Or in other words, the gospel will be taken from the Gentiles and later on will be carried to the Jews. This is Heber C. Kimball prophesying. Do you think that that is a true prophecy? What is truth? Did he just make that up?
Probably not.
He said some interesting things in there that it almost feels like are happening right under our noses. He said an army of elders will be sent to the four quarters of the earth to search out the righteous and warn the wicked of coming events. Do you feel like in the summer of 2018, when President Nelson had the worldwide youth devotional and he called the young members of the church from the age of 12 to 18, the youth battalion, told them that they were the elect, asked if they would be willing to go find the elect from the four quarters of the earth? Do you think that it's a coincidence that Heber C. Kimball made that prophecy and President Nelson said what he said in the summer of 2018?
Mm-mm.
Do you think that there is a connection there?
Mm-hmm.
Heber C. Kimball goes on to talk a little bit more in his same prophecy. He says, yes, we think we are secure here in the chambers of these everlasting hills where we can close the door of the canyon against mobs and persecutors, the wicked and the vile who have always beset us with violence and robbery. But I want to say to my brethren that the time is coming when we will be mixed up in these now peaceful valleys to the extent that it will be difficult to tell the face of a saint from the face of an enemy against the people of God. Just last week, we were talking in a podcast about how it would not be possible to survive spiritually without the continuing guidance of the Holy Ghost. We talked about how the Holy Ghost was what was going to help us be able to know the truth. Do you think that we've reached a time right now where we can't tell the difference between the face of a saint and the face of an enemy against the people of God?
Yeah. I can't help but always see these things in terms of everyone, because I think it literally applies to everyone and some more than others.
When you say everyone, what do you mean?
I think it's inside each of us. And it's like, are we letting the enemy of God take over, or are we being the saints that we believe we are, speaking of members of the church? I think there's a lot of people that don't even know necessarily when they're being which. Like, I think there's so much confusion that they think they're being saintly and doing what they're supposed to be doing and saying what they're supposed to be saying and teaching what they're supposed to be teaching. But I think sometimes they don't even know that they're not. I think there's people that are deceived fully and are missing the mark completely and like pretty stuck on that path of missing the mark, but they don't think they are.
You're taking this very introspectively, which I like. I think that we could all do that.
But there's also like...
Well, look at what's going on in the world today. There was a bishop that was just arrested for sex trafficking. Members of that ward who trusted and believed that bishop certainly must feel betrayed.
What a trial.
Certainly, if they believed that bishop was there to protect them and keep them safe.
What a trial for those members.
Be hard, wouldn't it? You can't tell the face of a saint from the face of an enemy of God, because the enemies of God are among us. We can't just trust those among us because we want to. We can't live on borrowed light. We need to develop an inner light that can discern who is an enemy of God and who is a true saint. But I also like what you said when you turned it introspectively, because we all are combating what is good and evil in each of us. We are of a dual nature. And that's why we need to use the discernment, power of discernment, to be able to know how to deal with that as well.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to your Lord, is it I? Mm-hmm. Like, it goes back to that, because it's like, yeah, I hear that. And in the end, really all that matters is it I? Hopefully not. I just think deception. It's all that. Like, you know, the bishop that does that. I don't think there's just one moment where he's like, okay, I'm just going to like go evil. Like, I'm just going to go dark. I don't think that's how, I know that's not how it works. It's slowly, and then it's justification, and then it's this, and then it's that. And I think we all go through it. That's magnified, but I think we all go through it. And I think just constantly, and I think the Holy Ghost is the only way that we can have the guide not to let ourselves go down a path, you know?
Heber C. Kimball continues to go on in his own prophecy and said, there is a test coming and many will fall. And he warns us, all of us, no matter who we are, whether we're a saint or an enemy of God right now. He just warns all of us that we cannot live on borrowed light. That if you do not have the knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, how can you stand? I find that interesting. He says, you need the knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. It goes back to the doctrine of the two ways. Doctrine of the one way is Jesus, the doctrine of the other way is Satan. Jesus and the Godhead, and Satan and his minions. Jesus is the Christ. And if you don't know that, how can you stand? That test is coming. It's on the horizon. Do you feel it? Is it there?
See, and to me, there's so much in that. I think you have to know who Jesus is, what the Christ is. Like, not just, I think there's so many people that, yeah, of course I know Jesus is the Christ. Done. End of conversation. And they totally don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, that, to me, that's the test. The test isn't, do you believe in Jesus or do you believe in Satan? Like, that's a very easy to, it's, okay, you believe in Jesus, now tell me about him. Like, who is he? Because in the answer of, yes, I believe in Jesus the Christ, there's a million ways that you can be off. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's the tough. That's the deception. Because like Satan, yeah, he just wants to get us a little bit off course, you know?
Yeah.
Did that make sense at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
that's what we've been talking about. That's been a main major theme of our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Is how to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
How not to be deceived. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? Can you know someone you haven't met? Can you have a knowledge? What does it mean to have a sure knowledge? What does it mean to see the face of God? To see Jesus Christ? What version of Jesus Christ would you see if you saw Jesus? Would you see him in a vision? Would you imagine him in your head? What does all this stuff mean? What is the truth? How do you know if Jesus Christ is your Savior? Heber C. Kimball is talking about knowledge here, not belief. If you do not have the knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, how can you stand? Do you think he used the word knowledge deliberately? Mm-hmm. Or do you think that I could substitute that with, if you do not have the belief that Jesus is the Christ, how can you stand? What is the truth? Is this a true prophecy? Should we take that seriously? Or is it okay to believe? Or should we be seeking greater knowledge, greater light and knowledge? And are we serious about that? What do you think?
Yeah, I think we should be seeking. I know I'm seeking, and I'm combating the fear of... The more I seek, the more I feel like I'm putting myself in position to potentially be deceived. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
The more I go after it, what I'm feeling is the more I need to put myself out there and take these steps, leaps of faith. And it's like, whoa, this doesn't feel like this, like growing up in the LDS church comfort that I'm used to of just like, oh yeah, we have the truth. This is it. We're safe. It's all good. It's like, seeking involves going out there a little bit, and it's
taking a step into the darkness.
Yeah. Like more than ever, for sure. Because there's something that tells me that just sitting in, like they always say, like, you just stay in the boat. And I get that. But at the same time, I don't know if we're supposed to stay in the boat. Like, you know, like I think we need to like venture out a little bit.
What is the truth?
Yeah, I don't know.
Tough stuff, right?
But, and here's the thing, it's tough, but it's like I'm making it tough on myself. You know what I'm saying? I could just not go here and just have my testimony, go to church, have my calling, and just not like need to go so deep.
Mm-hmm.
But something inside of me is not okay with that.
You know, my opinion, and I get paid a ton for my opinion here, zero. But in my opinion, it's not for everybody. We're supposed to seek our own mission, and some of our missions are different than others. And this is why we seek personal revelation for ourselves, that are unique for ourselves, because it's not the same for everyone. And your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. But Jesus Christ is still our Savior. That is my testimony. And he will help guide you on your course as he guides me on mine. And we will get there if we truly seek. He will teach you what you need to know, and he will teach me what I need to know. Personal revelation is real. Where does it come from? Through the Holy Ghost first. We can't leapfrog the Holy Ghost to get straight to Christ. He is an important member of the Godhead. We need to respect and honor him for the role that he plays in bringing us to Christ. you will know the truth of all things. That's everything. Every question through what? The Holy Ghost. John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. This is Jesus Christ talking. In verse 8 it says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So who reproves the world of sin and righteousness and judgment?
The Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Not Jesus Christ, but the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ just said that. It's the Holy Ghost that reproves the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me. Verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And verse 11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world? Jesus comes right out and says it right here. The Holy Ghost is a major role player. Who is it that cleanses you? Who is it that purifies you? The Holy Ghost. We know that. That is what sanctifies us. So if we want to know the truth, where are we going to find it again?
The Holy Ghost.
He is the one that will tell us the truth of all things. Everything that we're talking about right now can be revealed to us through the Holy Ghost.
And I think if we let everything else go, something that can inhibit the Holy Ghost working with us is us thinking we know stuff. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it's hitting me that, like, saying, okay, Holy Ghost, I'm willing to believe and go anywhere you tell me to go. It's all about you right now and my relationship with you, not things that I think I know about my Savior and about my relationship with him and all that. Because I don't know. It's just all of a sudden it's hitting me that, like,
I don't want to discredit who Jesus Christ is and the role that he plays. He is the way.
But I just don't think we know how until the Holy Ghost shows us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can't cut the Holy Ghost out of the loop.
We think we know. We think we know.
To think.
Yeah, I the think, church, they think, we all think we know, and it just puts it on pause. Like,
we'll put that on the shelf for a minute.
That's it for this episode of Bridge the Gap.
Truth seekers,